genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Remember, every show has a theme, and today's theme is changing mindsets. My first guest talked about changing executive mindsets. My next guest will talk about changing mindsets while driving on California's highways this holiday weekend. My next guest is new to the area. He assumed command of the Ventura office of the California Highway Patrol earlier in August. If you want to call in and speak to our Highway Patrol captain, call us at 639-0008, 639-0008. Dr. Bob Girardi has spent 23 years in the California Highway Patrol. He's considered to be a Renaissance patrolman. Bob spent his early years as a motorcycle patrolman. He headed the CHP's first anti-bioterrorism unit. We're going to ask him about that a little bit later on, too. He's been an administrator and a commander before coming here to Ventura. He's the son of a school nurse and a probation officer. Bob grew up in Rancho Cordova, just outside of Sacramento. He chose a career in law enforcement early on in his life. He's a father of six children, so he's busy after hours, just as busy as he is while he's on duty. Welcome to the show, Bob. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, and welcome to the community. And first of all, I butchered your last name. How do I say your last name?
You did butcher it, and that's okay, because everybody does. I have an Italian last name. With a lot of silent letters in that name, and it's actually pronounced Galeri.
Galeri?
Yes.
That's so much easier than what I said. I had only known I would have pronounced it right, Bob. Well, first of all, thank you. Welcome to the community. Let me thank you for your 23 years of service to the community.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah. Yes.
And so let's just start at the beginning. Tell us about your career.
I started my law enforcement career at a really early age, at 19 years old. Mm-hmm. Went through the Sacramento Sheriff's Academy. And it was, at that time, it was a reserve academy, and you had to pay yourself through the academy, kind of like a night school. Mm. So I did that. Having graduated from that in 1984, I became a reserve deputy sheriff for Sacramento Sheriff's Department.
Okay.
And I actually worked on high security trials at the Sacramento Courthouse.
Oh, really?
Very interesting. Yeah. Yes.
So that exposed you to the full gamut of law enforcement, didn't it?
It did at a very early age. And from that experience, I had looked at the CHP because I really liked the professionalism of that agency at the time, and was very impressed with them, with their overall work ethic and their image and their reputation. So I'd applied for the CHP at that time. I was about 20 years old when I actually applied. And it took about 2 years before I was actually hired. So in the meantime, I had applied for Contra Costa Sheriff's Department at 20 and a half. Had interviewed with them. They liked me. The only thing was is you had to be 21 to actually accept a job as a deputy.
And you missed it by 6 months.
I actually did. But so they said, hey, in 6 months, we're going to call you back. And they swore me in on my 21st birthday, which was really neat. So I was actually the youngest deputy hired at that time for Contra Costa Sheriff's Department.
Cool.
It's very cool. And I worked in their main detention facility in Martinez until such time that the California Highway Patrol came calling. And
that was an offer just too good to pass up.
It absolutely was. And I jumped at the chance, went through the academy in 1986, and my first assignment was to the San Jose area. I worked in San Jose for approximately about a year and a half and transferred over to the Oakland office, at which time I became a motorcycle officer for the first time in Oakland area, and had never ridden a motorcycle in my life. Was the only son in my family, and my mother didn't really want me on a motorcycle.
On a bike.
but now it was my decision, and actually really, really enjoyed my time as an officer riding on a motorcycle for 9 years.
Well, let's dig into that a little bit. So CHP guys don't have to have prior experience on a motorcycle. They teach you everything that you need to know?
No, in fact, Bill, it's actually probably better that you don't have the experience because they teach us a certain way of riding safely. And a prior writer will have bad habits, and those bad habits sometimes are hard to break. And so I actually learned, you know, from the experts on how to ride a motorcycle, and so therefore I was able to successfully pass the motorcycle school, and I'm still walking on two legs, and so I'm very proud to say that after having ridden a motorcycle in an enforcement mode, which is way different than a recreational mode, for 9 years of my career.
So you're now a motorcycle patrolman up in the Oakland area. That's got to be a little bit dangerous just in and of itself.
Yeah, it was. And in fact, I did work the Cypress structure, on the day that it was, we had the earthquake, and that was in 1989 when we had the Bay Bridge World Series between the A's and the Giants. And I'll tell you a story about that. Is I was a guy that never really changed beats, and that day my beat was the Cypress structure. But we had just gotten an unincorporated portion of Richmond, and I liked the challenge of going into a different area to work it. So I had traded with an officer before we left for the shift, and so I was actually in Richmond when that earthquake hit.
Wow. And that's incredible. Had you not been in Richmond, what would have happened?
Well, I got to tell you, the officer that I traded with said, "Hey, Bob, you are always on your beat, and I am glad that we traded because you more than likely could have been on that beat at that time when that earthquake hit." So it's funny how things happen in your life, you know, in that regard. So
absolutely. I mean, you should have taken that night off to go to Vegas. You were that lucky.
Exactly, Bill. You're absolutely right. After having worked Oakland, I transferred to Sacramento, and that's where I was born and raised, in Rancho Cordova. So I was working my way back home, if you will, and I took an assignment as a patrol officer in the South Sacramento office with 6 years on the job, and actually got to work in my hometown of Rancho Cordova, which was a really, really great experience.
Sure.
But it was also very eye-opening because from a law enforcement perspective, you don't know really what's really going around you when you're living in an area, you know, as a young man.
Sure.
Just growing up in the area. So
interesting. All right, so now you're in Rancho Cordova area, right around Sacramento. How did you get into this anti-bioterrorism thing, and what the heck is anti-bioterrorism?
good question, Bill. You know, I was a sergeant, and I was assigned to our commercial vehicle section. Had been a sergeant for about a year, and I was in commercial vehicle section. I was writing grants, and I was overseeing commercial vehicle grants that were aimed at trying to prevent truck traffic accidents out on the roadway. 9/11 hit. Okay, as we all know, 9/11 occurred, and what occurred after 9/11, if you remember, there were some anthrax.
Yes, it was in the post office, and people in Congress were getting anthrax, yes.
Absolutely, and California's perspective on that is, hey, it was just a matter of time before it came to us. So we wanted to get proactive. We, the California Highway Patrol, got proactive, and we always had a hazardous materials unit, but we didn't have a component of bioterrorism as part of that unit. So they created this bioterrorism unit to be a part of our hazardous materials unit and asked me as a new supervisor to head up that unit. You can imagine the anxiety I felt because I didn't know anything about anthrax at that time.
Right.
And, you know, so we did a lot of research on it. We developed mail handling techniques, how to identify suspicious packages when they come through the mail, what to do in an event that, you know, suspicious white powder were to, you know, come out of an envelope. And we gave this training, anthrax awareness and mail handling training, to all of the state employees statewide. And I have to tell you that the guys that were working on that project with me did a fantastic job. It resulted in all of us actually winning a Governor's Safety Award.
Oh, congratulations.
For the effort. And that unit still exists today as part of the hazardous materials unit.
All right, and so what do they do today? Do you keep up with these guys and so forth, what their job responsibilities are?
I don't personally, but, you know, today they're always looking at, you know, different ways of being proactive to prevent, you know, a terrorism event from occurring here in California.
And we're thankful for that. So that's good. All right, so now how did you get out of the anti-bioterrorism division and into what you're doing?
Well, what resulted out of that is I took a promotional exam with for lieutenant, and I was successful, and I took a job back in San Jose, which was really interesting because I started as a brand new officer in San Jose, and then I went back to the San Jose office as a manager. And I was there for 2.5 years as a manager in San Jose, and it was a great experience. It was a great introduction to management phase of the CHP and gave me a great foundation to ready me for the position that I'm in now as a captain.
So. Very cool, very cool. Now, fast forward to Ventura. Now, you come down to our office here. Tell us about the office that you're taking over here in Ventura for the Highway Patrol.
Yeah, I'm still learning a lot about the office. I've only been here since August 2nd. Family has brought me down here. I have a son that's 15 years old who's an aspiring singer and actor. Wanted to get a little bit closer to the L.A. scene. And I have a 21-year-old daughter who is going to Ventura College and inspires to go to Channel Islands.
Well, big shout out to the Pirates.
But yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and then my wife actually was drawn to the natural beauty of this area because she worked for the state of California as a consultant and in the Department of Education. And part of her area was to travel over to Ventura County. And she'd tell me how beautiful Ventura County was. And so they all drew me here. And then since I've gotten here, I got to tell you, I've fallen in love with your natural beauty of this county. The weather is completely awesome. And the men and women that work out of the Ventura office, I have to tell you, they are the best. I mean, I couldn't have been dealt a better hand of folks to work with. So I'm very, very pleased in what I see in the Ventura office.
Well, we're very happy to hear that, and we're very happy to have you here, Bob. So thanks very much for that. Now, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the holiday weekend that's coming up here. And I got to ask you, in your professional capacity, what advice do you have for motorists who are going to be taken to the road for the Labor Day weekend?
You know, first and foremost, Bill, we want everybody to enjoy their holiday weekend. You know, we know that folks are going to be traveling to their destinations and enjoying the three-day weekend as school's just started again. And we want everyone to get there safely and to get back home. So I have some tips that I'm looking for. And, you know, the education's out there about drinking and driving. And, you know, we're asking everybody to use common sense. And please don't drink and drive. And if you have had something to drink, you know, get a designated driver or call a taxi cab, you know, or a family member that, you know, can come in and get you the destination safely.
You can't say it enough, Bob. You really can't, because even though the education has been out there for years and years and years now, people still ignore it. People will be drunk this weekend. They will be endangering others out on the road. So you can't repeat it enough.
Yeah, you can't, and that's why we're on here again, Bill, talking about it, because, you know, history, you know, as we know it, these holiday weekends are big, and people are going to be out there drinking and driving. And so we have a maximum enforcement period is what we call it going on. And we have all of our available CHP officers that are out there, you know, working this weekend. And we'll be aggressively seeking out the drinking drivers. So please, please, please do not drink and drive.
Be forewarned, listeners. Be forewarned that they're going to be out there looking for drunk drivers. Don't put yourself in harm's way.
That's exactly right. And here's some other tips that I'm looking for is, you know, slow down. You know, obey the speed limit. You know, please don't tailgate. You know, leave a proper space cushion between you and the car in front of you.
All right, it's been a couple of years since I was in driver's ed. What is that cushion?
You know, a simple rule for me that I always follow is about one car length per 10 miles per hour. So if you're doing 65 miles an hour, a safe distance would be about 6.5 car lengths, and that gives you enough time to react to any hazards that are ahead.
Now, my wife looks at that and says, oh, look at the gapper.
Exactly. So, but I got to tell you, that's how you'll get to your destination safely, and a lot of the rear-end collisions are as a result of people just following too closely.
All right, so back off a little bit. What other advice do you have?
Wear your seatbelt. You know, that's
duh.
Exactly. You know, that's wearing your seatbelt will, you know, in fact, keep you from an injury in a collision. It may keep you from a fatality in a major collision. And so, you know, we do crack down on seatbelts, and please wear your seatbelt.
Good advice. Good advice. What other tips do you have us for this holiday weekend, Bob?
Another one is we have experienced that with this technology age that there's a new driver out there called the distracted driver.
And sorry, I was texting. What was that?
Yeah, exactly. There you go, Billy. I mean, you're right. I mean, it has gone from, you know, just eating behind the wheel or putting on your makeup from behind the wheel or combing your hair behind the wheel to all of those things and texting and using your cell phone. Now, you can see how dangerous that is. And what we're asking people to do is please put all that stuff down. Focus on, you know, the job at hand, which is driving safely and getting there.
Okay, good. What other tips? We've only got about a minute left.
I started it out with the first thing, and it was, please don't drink and drive. And I'm going to end it with that, Bill, is, you know, drinking and driving has fatal consequences. And please do not get behind the wheel if you're under the influence of alcohol.
Well said. Good advice for all motorists out there, regardless of the time of year. I'm glad to have you. And welcome to the community, Bob.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking to Captain Bob. How do I pronounce your last name?
Galeri.
Bob Galeri, the new commander of the California Highway Patrol right here in Ventura County.